Hi, it's Dr. Anthony Fauci from the National Institute of Health, and since I'm not really getting a lot done working for the president, or he's ignoring me or calling me names, I'm doing a lot of voiceover work part-time for podcasts, so here are the list of the producers for Radio Labyrinth. And make sure that you're wearing your mask, please. We got Brett Perkins, Mike Hall, Chad Shepard, Todd Ellis, Roby Neely, Brian Smith, John Sutherland, Mike D, Sean Hall, Matt Carter, Eric Malmstrom, Keith Tate, and Emily Warren. Thank you so very, very much. And don't forget to wear your masks forever, forever. Now I'm going to go jump on a rocket with Bill Gates. See you later.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Did you all get the free prime rib? Our next guest is a very funny and strange, peculiar man who first played Las Vegas way back in 1963.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, he has starred on TV's $1.98 Beauty Contest in Hollywood Squares. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rip Taylor.
Well, you got the job. Hello, I got money for gambling. Had to use that damn joke, too. You think this coat's a little busy? Like Liberace threw up on the damn thing. Anyway, good evening. Please laugh, folks. I just had my damn tubes tied this evening. For the children now, Captain Sixpack's in town. They're blind on that side, gee. Hope a dog in heat falls in love with your shin. That'll wake you up. Look at this, the Odd Couple. Hello? Never seen dead people sitting up, gee. Wait just a second, I got the damage. Notice the glove? Michael Jackson. I'm using his shampoo, Head and Smolders.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim, and this is going to be episode 29 coming up. We had a guest on this week, or we do have a guest on this week. His name is Matthew Pernicero, and he is a film and television producer. He's done a lot of documentary work. He has some shows on HBO right now. He has a movie coming out that he's involved with called Rip, Rip, Hooray. It's a documentary about classic comedian Rip Taylor. If you're a Gen X kid, or older, you'll remember Rip Taylor. You know, he had the funny mustache, and he always had the toupees on his head. He was a staple on every game show in the 70s and 80s, and variety shows, and even had his own shows, too. So we recorded the interview Monday, the 13th of July, and the first 10 minutes of it got screwed up beyond repair, and so for that, I apologize to Matthew, but we do have a good chunk of it, and on it, he talks about the movie, and most importantly, he talks about the Kickstarter. The Kickstarter link will be in the show description, so you just have to drill down there, but I'm going to read it out anyway. Kickstarter.com/projects/RipRipHooray, and it'll take you right to it, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I've always been a fan of Rip Taylor's ever since I was a little kid. I used to run around the house wishing I had confetti, and I'm sure that my grandparents and my parents were both happy that I did not. Let me read a brief description of Rip, Rip, Hooray. This is a new documentary which gives audiences an in-depth look at the life of comedian Rip Taylor. It launches exclusive digital pre-sales of the film via Kickstarter, and it is available now, featuring exclusive interviews with the late Rip Taylor, who passed away in October of last year. Viewers will hear his story for the first time in his own words, from his early days as an orphan child in Washington, D.C., to serving in World War II through the golden age of television. His never-die spirit propelled him to stardom despite the naysayers who thought he was too different, and yes, there's a lot of confetti, and that's from the description. So the film was directed by Anthony Barnow and produced by Matthew, who I mentioned earlier, of Bow and Arrow Entertainment, Kevin Mann of Haven Entertainment, Frank Kelly, and Scott Mosier. Bow and Arrow's Michael Sherman, Haven's Jesse Hara and Rachel Miller, and Taylor serve as executive producers. So a little more in case we miss it, and then we'll get on with the show this week. Due to Barnow's untimely passing from cancer in 2018, the film had not been completed until just recently, and the producers wanted to approach distribution in a unique way, which led to it being on Kickstarter. So listen to the interview and then go to Kickstarter. And I want to add before you get started here, we talked about the people who passed away in the previous week. But since I'm recording this today, which is Tuesday, July 14th, we all want to say rest in peace to Grant Imahara from Mythbusters, who was only 49 years old and passed away yesterday.
They'd come out and do the curtain call, and one time they were late, and like Burton tripped and fell into the front row of the audience. And, you know, the woman was like, but it's just, she's like, Mr. Burton, you're drunk. And he's like, if you think I'm drunk, you should see O'Toole. And like, you know, like, but I don't think people talk about those stories as much anymore. And I don't think people kind of share those kind of like, you know, that's such a unique part of the history that I think there's a responsibility of people that create content now to continue telling those stories.
Right. Go ahead, Steph.
I was just going to say those people like Rip Taylor and Tim Conway, like growing up in the 70s, early 80s, you just thought they were always going to be there. It's like when they were gone, you're like, oh my God, this person's been a part of my life since I was born. And you just never think they're going to go away.
Yeah. And, you know, and it was interesting. I mean, I think, you know, as we continued making the film, you know, we watched a lot of Rip lose a lot of his friends. You know, I remember, you know, when Phyllis Diller passed away and then Debbie Reynolds passed away. And it was just, you know, you watched a man nearing the end of his life and knowing that he was losing all his friends, that he was one of the last people, you know, that was left from that generation of entertainers. And, you know, but that's what he is. He said, I'm still here to entertain, you know, that's what he felt like his purpose in life was. And he just loved doing it. I mean, he was just a really special guy. But yeah, I mean, and you know, it's funny too, you mentioned that because they also were kind of omnipresent, right? Like they were on the game shows, but they were also doing their comedy specials and they were touring and they were doing plays and they were, you know, releasing music and albums. And then, you know, I mean, we have like this whole section where it's like Rip was on like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And like, you know, it's just like they were everywhere. And it's different now. And I think it's important that we go back and look at those times.
Yeah, now you get everything thrown at you. There's TMZ or there's, you know, an expose and here's this and here's this and they shove it down your throat all the time. I mean, only if you seek it out or if you're in a place like social media, but something like this, like you had touched on earlier, you have to seek it out and promote it. If you're like us, we'll promote it so other people can find it. But I love it when I discover something I wasn't aware of that I will like. And I don't know I like it until I watch it, but that feeling of discovery that, oh, this wasn't hyped up and I didn't know what this was and this is great and it's new and it's mine. And
Current analogy would be, you know, stumbling upon that series on Netflix that had 8 seasons and never watched any of it. It's amazing.
No, totally. I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, just going to like Blockbuster, right? Because I grew up, I was born in 79. So like, I'm like prime teenage years for like the Blockbuster generation. Oh, yeah. In the 90s. And just going and like roaming those halls and like looking at the boxes and being like, oh, I've never heard of this. I've never heard of this. And like, it was film school before I went to film school. And like, I hope that, you know, young people are still seeking those stories out and are still trying to discover, people are still trying to discover things and not just letting the algorithms push things to people. And like, look, like we work with the streaming companies a lot and we love working with them. And I think, you know, one of the benefits of where technology has brought our business right now is that, you know, I remember I grew up in North Carolina and I remember like waiting, like I'd have to wait like 2 months for the movie to come out. And most of the movies I really wanted to see, or I'd read an article about or hear about, would never come out in the theaters where I lived. And it was about waiting until they got on video. So I think now there's kind of an immediacy, you know, that people will hear about something that played at Sundance. And then all of a sudden, 2 or 3 months later, they can immediately access it on streaming, which is great. But I, like I said, I hope we're not losing that sense of discovery, because I think it's so important, you know, to kind of that kind of self-curation of, you know, discovering these things.
Were you able to get Rip Rip Hooray in any of the festivals before COVID?
No, I mean, because the film is currently not complete. So one of the reasons that we're doing the Kickstarter, and, you know, we had been talking about working with Kickstarter on something, you know, for a while, you know, they, you know, we'd kind of been had a couple meetings with them over the years, and, you know, it said, you know, I'm really interested in the idea of kind of being able to access audiences directly as well, and thought that this could be a really great opportunity with this film to do so, especially during this period of time. So one of the reasons that we're doing the Kickstarter is to, you know, have some funding to complete the film, but then also we're really kind of pushing the Kickstarter not to necessarily ask for donations, but we're much more saying it's about engaging with the audience now and getting people to, you know, learn about RIP. And, you know, we're really looking for people to pre-order the movie, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you know, you can pre-order the movie and you'll get a copy of it that you own forever. And then we also have like merchandise and a whole bunch of other fun stuff associated with it. But that was the real kind of motivation, was like, this could be a great way to kind of, you know, sidestep a little bit the traditional distribution and sales process that we all do, and really look at how do we get to people directly.
Tell everybody some of the levels that they can sign up for on our Kickstarter.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different levels. We have, you know, the if you, you know, would just like, you know, well, for $7, you can just get an envelope full of confetti and you can just rip Taylor at home, you know, and just throw a bunch of confetti all around your house or your apartment. But our initial premium or primary level is the $15 level, which is a digital download of the movie. And again, the way that we're doing that is it's not rental based. It's you are basically getting a copy of the film as if you bought it on DVD or bought it on, you know, one of the sell through platforms. They go up from there. You know, we have a level where you can get a t-shirt, for, you know, we have, a great company called My Sticker Face, which is, does these kind of personalized face stickers, and our poster designer, is a partner in that company. So she designed this amazing poster all handmade out of confetti of RIP's face. Cool. So
the artwork's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. And she came out, you know, we were kind of had this idea of a concept of, you know, building RIP out of confetti, and we were trying to figure out ways to do it digitally. And it looked digital. And she said, you know what, I'm just going to make it. And she did. And it's wonderful. So you can get, you know, a sheet of stickers of RIP's confetti face. You can get, you know, a canvas tote bag with the digital download is $30. A t-shirt with the digital download is $40. And then we actually have, you know, we have special thanks in the end credits, you know, because they kind of all go up from there. Right. We have a couple producer credits available. There you go. And then, yes, and then one of the big ones we have, and I actually have them here. I pulled them out. At some point, and I think it must have been the 80s, RIP made plastic luggage tags of his face.
I love that.
When we were doing interviews on the documentary, he brought a stack of these, and he had a purple pen, and he started signing them, and said, "Just give these out to the camera guys." And so he just handed me a stack of them, and we had four of them left. So we said, "All right, we're going to include that in the Kickstarter if someone wants a direct from Rip Taylor signed plastic luggage tag." But it's a great little piece of, you know, Rip loved promoting. He loved promotion. I think his jewelry, he had the funniest jewelry. He had this one necklace that was like all diamonds, and you lifted it up and the wig came off. It was like the hair was all diamonds, and you just lifted it. You lifted up one piece, and then his hand was like here, and it lifted the wig off. You know, he just had crazy stuff. It was awesome.
I know if I saw that suitcase on the carousel at the airport, I would just be like, COVID be damned. I have to meet this person.
Exactly. But yeah, so we have a whole bunch of really fun stuff for people to engage with. And you know, look, for younger audiences, I think a lot of people know Rip from the Jackass films, but they don't know as much about his comedy and the game shows. They kind of just, that generation just missed that. So we wanted to kind of get into people's, you know, get awareness with people early so that people could start engaging and learning about Rip, you know, even before the movie would come to them. So
when he stopped by the radio station in 2005, when I was on that morning show, you know, for the Dragon Con thing, One interesting thing I noticed about him is he carried a sack with cash in it.
Yeah.
I was wondering if he still continued that.
Yeah, he always had cash. I mean, I would always pay for lunch. That was the thing. He was always like, but never at IHOP. IHOP, he had like a tab. So he would really only eat at a couple of different places. But his favorite place to eat was at IHOP in West Hollywood, which has like been there forever. And it was like him and like you'd see like Rodney Bingenheimer there all the time. Like it was just like the two of them.
Is he still on radio out there?
I don't know if Rodney still does a show or not. I mean,
just throwing that out there. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know if he still does, but I mean, at least he did up until a couple of years ago, but I don't know. K-Rock, I think, is kind of like a whole different.
Well, that was a good documentary about that guy. Fascinating, yes. Man too, Rodney.
I did a film many years ago about the Germs, the punk band, the Germs, called What We Do Is Secret. And Rodney was a character in it. So he came and visited set, and that was a pretty cool experience. But yeah, Rip would go to IHOP. And like I said, I never saw a bill when we went to IHOP. I think he had like just a tab that like there, but yeah, he always carried cash and he always had jewelry. He would drive. I mean, look, I mean, even towards the end, I mean, he would drive himself and, he would just pop around West Hollywood and go to this spot and that spot. And he had his whole day planned out always. So it was great.
Oh, we're all really looking forward to seeing this movie. Hopefully, and fingers crossed and everything, the Kickstarter is successful, when are you looking to deliver on the digital downloads?
In the fall. Our goal is in the fall. I mean, depending on the timing with the Kickstarter, our goal would be to have the film completed by the end of September, to make delivery probably by the end of October, early November. And like we said, yeah, it'll be a system for everyone that pre-orders the film. They'll get a direct, a download of the film. We're not going to be putting it on in the platform. So it's going to kind of have this unique window, at least not for the foreseeable future. So that it's kind of, this community will have the first access to the movie. And then we're going to kind of figure it out from there, but that's the goal. It would be probably mid-fall by when everyone gets a link in their email saying, hey, it's ready to watch.
Well, hopefully some of our listeners will be able to kick in. And I know I've shared the Kickstarter around a couple of the Sid and Marty Croft pages on Facebook that I'm a member of. So hopefully we'll.
Oh, thank you so much for doing that. Yeah, no, and we're just trying to kind of spread the word, and, it's a new experience for us, but it's been, I think it's a really cool way to finish this film and get the story out there.
Now you do an awful lot of work in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, I do quite a bit. As a producer, and my company is called Bow and Arrow, and we do a lot of narrative and documentary films. So, I've been independently produced.
I like Betty quite a bit.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Skate. I was personally more involved with Skate Kitchen, but I, very, very excited with everything with Betty. And I'm so happy for Crystal. Crystal's such an amazingly talented human being that I am so excited for her, that it's coming back for another season. And yeah, look, when you can make an independent film that ends up becoming a TV series on HBO, I think, everyone's pretty happy with that outcome.
I kept waiting for the dude from High Maintenance to show up and sell him some weed.
Maybe in season two, I don't know, but maybe in season two, there'll be some crossover. Betty's great. And Skate Kitchen was a great experience making that film. We just had a couple of films that played at Sundance, a few films that played at Sundance this year. The first of which came out last month on Netflix, called Disclosure, which is a really powerful documentary about transgender representation in film and television. And then we have another film that comes out in a couple of weeks, which will be on VOD first and then on, streaming platforms later this year, which is called The Fight, which is all about the ACLU. And a really powerful, really, really beautiful film from the team that did Wiener, the directors that did Wiener. This is their next documentary. Nice. And then we have another documentary that comes out at the end of the year called The Truffle Hunters, which is a beautiful film. So.
Isn't it interesting that they've been making movies with people who are transgender for ever since there's been movies? And it's only 2020 when they're like, no, we're actually going to cast people who are transgender to play these roles from now on.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's, it was a real amazing experience making that film and working with Sam and Amy, the filmmakers, and, you know, who dedicated years of their lives to the telling of this story. And, you know, I think a lot of times people just don't, they didn't think about it, right? They just, there was a norm that had been set in Hollywood for decades, you know, that, oh, this is just kind of how it's handled, without kind of thinking about, well, is there a transgender actor or actress that maybe would make more sense for this role? Those dots didn't connect for a lot of people, it doesn't seem like. But when you kind of put all the representation side by side, it becomes really shocking, right? It becomes really aware at how much has to change. Mm-hmm. And even the strides that have been made over the past few years. Laverne Cox is a producer on the film with us, and one of the key interviews and narrator, and you kind of narrate certain sections of the film. And she's just an unbelievable person and so strong, and kind of has broken down so many barriers in our business. And so to watch kind of this generation of performers finally start to get their proper due and get cast appropriately, it's been a pretty amazing thing to watch. But I think it also, the film is really a reminder of how far we still need to go.
I have to say, I love Pose, and I learned so much just from watching that show. You know, I always feel like I'm pretty open-minded, liberal, know this, know that, but they really do give you the perspective of what it was like, especially then in the 80s and the early 90s, how rough that was. And I just, you know, of course, at the time I was like a teenager, I didn't think about anything like that, but it's such a great show, and it made me want to watch Disclosure.
Well, I think because it's a history that hasn't been told, right? It's a history that's kind of been swept under the rug, right? It's not, you know, transgender history is not something that you're learning about in school when you're learning about even, you know, things that are like, is, you know, very important, like civil rights movement, you know, which are taught in schools now, but they're not teaching transgender or LGBTQ history. They're not at the same rate, you know, by any means. So I think that was the thing for us. And I think the film is a history lesson for so many. And look, it's one of those films that you're just, as a producer, you're just really proud to be involved in a movie like that, that's kind of opening this many eyes.
Was Rip Taylor aware of this awakening that was happening the last couple of years he was alive? Did he seeing it, or was he not a person who was into that, more into just being who he was?
You know, I would say Rip was really just more into being who he was. You know, like I said, I think one of the things about Rip was he just lived his life the way he wanted to live it. And he didn't, like I said, I think for him, and I think probably this is generational to a certain degree, is he wasn't ever going to define who he was, or did he align with this group or that group. He was just being Rip Taylor. Yeah. And he was not going to kind of, you know, have any definition to his, you know, like I said, what that meant to anyone else. And so I think the thing for us was kind of exploring, you know, his journey through kind of discovering who Rip Taylor was, you know, was pretty, pretty interesting. You know, there's some unexpected things that I think people will find out about Rip. You know, one of Rip's serious girlfriends in his life was Ella Fitzgerald.
Really?
Yeah. And, he was on a tour where, you know, he was an opening act for, you know, a lot of singers, and they got to know each other, and, you know, he tells his story. And, you know, I think, you know, that's just one of many unexpected things that, you know, you wouldn't think about Rip, but, you know, he wasn't going to let anyone define who he could be or who he could be with or what he could do.
Fascinating. I want everybody that's listening to this or watching this to go to the Kickstarter, kick in if you can, and keep Rip Taylor's memory going. Matthew, please again say what the Kickstarter is and any kind of social media that you want to promote for the film.
Yes. So the Kickstarter is kickstarter.com. I think you can do kickstarter.com/projects/RipRipHooray. Or you can do kickstarter.com/RipRipHooray. I think both of those actually work. And then if you start searching On Instagram is kind of our primary platform that we're really using, but we have Instagram, Facebook. It's at Rip Rip Hooray. And like I said, you can also just Google Rip Rip Hooray Kickstarter, and it'll bring you to all the appropriate pages.
Awesome. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show, Matthew. It's amazing, and I hope that the movie's super successful, and we'll be behind it and support it as much as we can.
Thank you all so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and thanks for helping spread the word about it. It's an important film for all of us.
We're all sprinkle genies.
I got my confetti going in the background.
There he is.
Hey, lots of confetti. You know what? There's a lot worse things in the world than confetti, and you know, it reminds you. I think that was we have a story about how the confetti came to be. I'll leave that for a secret.
Watch the movie.
But yeah, it's a. You see that man in his mustache throwing that confetti in the air, and you just kind of smile. And I think we could all use a smile here and there.
I'm a little hoarse. And by the way, if you want, there's tons and tons and tons of appearances that he's made throughout the years available on YouTube. So you can watch him on Jackie Gleason. You can watch him on an MDA show from 1992. There's tons of it. So if you want. I always get stuck in YouTube rabbit holes. I love
Hollywood that. Squares. Hollywood yeah. Squares.
Tonight Show.
Yep. And the beauty show. Don and the beauty show is always a gem.
But. And one of Chuck Norris, one of Chuck Barris's game shows that I liked it. I remember watching it when I was a kid. It's like, why isn't it on anymore?
I know. Well, I think it was supposed to be so bad that it was good, and it was bad, but Rip made it great. So, you know, I think that was the joke. But
on the Gong Show.
Yeah, exactly. And the Gong Show obviously was amazing. So.
And I like the Gong Show because every season you can watch him get more progressively into cocaine. The shirt opens up. We'll be right back with more stuff. Matthew, thank you, man. Best of luck to everything. Okay.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Take
so
care.
Nice to meet you.
Good luck, man.
Nice to meet you guys. All right. Thanks.
Let Ira on now.
He was great.
I got to go pee, but I'm going to leave it recording. So feel free to talk amongst yourselves.
Hey, Ira. What's going on, man?
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Sig, talk again.
Yeah.
I guess that's a no.
That sounds
a little tinny, but.
Yeah, it's weird sounding.
All right. I'm gonna take this thing. I thought it might be better with my headphones. But
I think so. Yeah, because it sounds like you got a damn one of them throat modulators on or some shit.
That could be better for me.
Luke, I am your father. Yeah. What are you doing, Ira? That's not your office.
Yeah, where are you, Ira?
How's that?
Much better.
That's good?
Oh, yeah. Much better.
I was like podcasting from a hotel room or something.
Yeah, where are you at, dude?
I'm at work again, as usual.
Oh, okay.
Where's Tim? There's Tim.
There he is.
I was peeing. I was taking a pee-pee.
Oh, yeah? You were making a sissy?
I was making a sissy. So I think the first five to six minutes of that interview wasn't captured, so.
Why?
Operator error, but I'll record an intro and that's why I brought some stuff up again.
Yeah.
Doke. Well, that's fine. That's cool.
It's not fine. It's stupid.
I like your face. You're looking good.
Thanks. No, it just pissed me off because it's like, oh, fuck. So, my bad.
Oh, well.
I'm sure there was better shit later on in the interview. Anyway.
There was tons. That's why I brought up new stuff, so.
Yeah. That dude, I would love to have him back on again. Just talk to him about Hollywood shit.
Well, yeah.
Another crap.
Yeah, I'd love to have him and Mosher both come on. They've done some great shit like that. A band called Death documentary. You ever see that? I think it's on Netflix. It's about this hardcore band called Death.
I know the band, but I didn't know there was a movie. Yeah. That's cool.
A band called Death. It's a really good movie. And Milius, you ever see that? The documentary about John Milius.
Oh,
that's really good. I don't know if I was going to ask him if that was streaming anywhere, because that is fantastic.
We should have kept him on. And now, but I we'll talk to him again. We got to talk to him again. Will you send him an email and thank him for everything? Ira's here. So before we get to everything else, I want to tell you about the Radio Labyrinth's wonderful, wonderful, very nice sponsors. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is open for dine-in service. So come on in and eat. They clean the place down and you can get four.
We scrubbed that shit. They scrub it.
scrub it. They got a hose. They bring the hose in and they all over your face. Atlanta Pizza in Europe. They don't have a hose. It's still, what? They do have takeout. They don't have a fire hose to wipe everybody down, but they have
to. He's not going to hose you in the face, guys. Go. It's,
you hoser.
It's Bukkake clean.
No, don't bring that word into this.
Why?
This is a commercial.
Mike will love it.
Nobody wants that word in their commercial. And,
Mike is different.
A rag company. We make rags. The Bukkake film. Mm.
All right, sorry. I'll shut up. Sorry, Mike.
No, you don't have to shut up. Just don't bring up Bukkake. takeout and curbside service for those who prefer it. And you don't have to pay ahead of time. So that's really awesome. Go to the website, Atlanta Pizza Euro. And if you don't know how to spell Euro, it's GYRO.com to order online for pickup or delivery. And remember, they thank everybody who has been supportive through these tough times for the restaurant industry. And if you've been to Atlanta Pizza in Euro, please leave a positive review for them on Google. If you didn't have a nice time, you didn't like your food, well, keep it to your fucking self.
Yeah.
That's across the board for everybody.
That's for everything. Stop bitching about everything. If you don't, go online and put something. I had a nice time and that's it. You know, I went in there. Somebody wasn't wearing a mask and it made me mad, so I had to follow them around the store.
We went in there and everybody was wearing masks.
Yeah, and everybody made fun of me for doing it. Yeah. And then 2 weeks, I'm like, do I?
No, but I mean, the staff and everybody were all masked.
Well, hell yeah, they were. They were. And plus, the food's good. So let's not forget our other friend, Brett Perkins. We very much appreciate his support and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens. That means they make like big ass things that like blueprints and schematics and things like that. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential. Listen, even if you don't need something, call up and order something. They'll make something for you. It's in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. And you won't know unless you call. So call 706-316-9366 or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com. Well, welcome to the show. Ira, it's been a minute.
Has it? Yeah, I guess I missed you last week.
Yeah, a minute. A while.
It's been a couple weeks, Ira.
I've been so friggin' busy. I just, everything just seems to be blending together. So I apologize. Right.
You know, it's bad when your own farts make you disgusted.
Ugh, damn, Tim.
Sorry, Ira. I'm on a new diet.
You're having that problem too?
I'm on a new diet. I had eggs and vegetables all day.
Oh yeah? Oh, you're going keto?
No. Well, I don't know if it's keto. It's. I can't really mention it down here. I can't mention it down here. But I am being endorsed by a company.
Oh
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and they teach you how to eat properly when you're 50, and you should know better.
Yeah.
No McDonald's for you today.
No, but boy, did I do that last week. Oh, you know, I'm starting this diet Monday. I think I'll eat a Chick-fil-A every day, even Sunday. I went to the Dwarf House. No, I didn't. Anyway, so well, let's just kick it off with some news.
All right.
So, do you have any
news?
New?
No, you said don't worry about it.
I know.
Can I? Well, I do have a little bit of news, just my own personal news.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I shared my little fundraiser on Facebook over the weekend. I do this every year, my Strut Your Mutt thing, right? Remember I talked about it on the show last week or whatever? Do you know? But our listeners, they got me up to like $820.
Holy shit, congrats.
In like a couple of days.
Thanks for the Labyrinth listeners.
I mean, Tim Slayton, Matt Carter, Kevin Blanchard, Eric Malmstrom, Tim Allen. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. It means so much to me. And I was just like, holy shit. And I'm crushing everyone on my team. They look like fools. So, thank you guys so much. Anyway, I just wanted to say that.
It's still going on?
Oh, yeah. I've got 112 days left, and I've already left all these people in the dust. And, you know, but well, still,
it's because you're famous. Celebrities always raise a lot of money.
Oh, well, sure. One of your co-hosts
would like to donate. He's glad that he still has enough money. Where can people go to donate?
Go to strutyourmutt.org. And you're going to look for, pick a team, go to the Bartonville team and just find me on there and sponsor me. I'll take anything you got. Anything.
That's what I heard.
Everybody knows that, Steph. Come on. It's old news.
Anyway, it made me, you know, in these times of garbage that we live in these days, I mean, I dabbed my eyes a little bit. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That meant a lot to me. So thank you guys so much.
I still feel like I'm going to start punching myself in the balls. I feel bad. It's the first few minutes of that interview. But I was going to be like, hey, can we start over?
We'll just record a nice.
Got better as it went on anyway. So
record a nice intro and introduce him. And
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Read a little bio or something.
It's going to work. I'll put the show out Wednesday and I'll send out a little message tomorrow on social media. I don't think anybody will really be that upset. So in addition to Steph's good news, we have some bad news. We've lost some people since last week.
And we die. We
do every week.
I love it when we start off with death. It's so uplifting.
Well, the first person to enter our collective consciousness as a freak who screwed her kids in school, teacher that screwed her students, that would be Mary Kay Letourneau. She's 58 years old. She passed away at the end of last week, and may she rest in peace. But she was the one that kicked off the whole, hey, the teacher's starting to fuck their students.
That's a great eulogy, Tim. I'm sure they're going to read that verbatim at her funeral.
They worked together, though, for a long time after she got out of jail, right? Her and
well, married.
She got out of jail, and she wasn't supposed to see him. I think he was still a minor. She was let out for good behavior.
But then eventually when he became of age, weren't they married for quite a while?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they got divorced.
I think his kid is actually older than him.
No, her kids are older than him.
Yes, I know. But she really was. She was the first one, you know, that was like, oh, yeah, you know. And then they glom onto it, you know, the pre-TMZ era. But, you know, it was Inside Edition and A Current Affair, all that shit. Yeah. And you know, the first thing I thought about when she passed away was, okay, well, I feel bad for her family and for the guy, but you know, how are they going to keep milking it? Well, I'm sure they'll do a special. Teachers who fuck.
Right. Well, they've done plenty of those specials.
Yeah, it was Pamela Smart is the one that paid the guy to kill her husband, and that was what To Die For was based on Pamela Smart. I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Pamela Smart though. Yeah. Ugh, she had a meth face. So rest
didn't look like Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, no.
Definitely not To Die For.
And rest in peace to Kelly Preston, 57 years old. She was right in our wheelhouse as far as the movies and stuff that she was in. Also was married to John Travolta, and you got to give it to them. They didn't tell anybody. Nobody knew.
Well, and I didn't hear about it. The first time I heard about it was when I saw it in our doc. When was this?
Well, it was yesterday or today. Yeah, yesterday. But they didn't announce it. She's had it for a couple of years, and John Travolta, and neither of them had even brought it up. And so you got to feel bad for Jan.
Well, what did she die from?
Breast cancer.
Breast cancer.
Breast cancer, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it.
She was in one of the first dirty movies I remember watching when I was a kid, Hanky Panky.
Yeah, I remember
that.
Who's the other? Who's the guy?
Hmm?
Who's the guy in Hanky Panky?
It's a blonde-haired guy. It reminds me of Alex Winters, but it's not Alex Winters.
No, I know who you're talking about, though. He goes over to her house and he screws her, and then her mom comes home or her grandma or something. He has to split, right?
Right.
Oh no, Hanky Panky is Gene Wilder and Gilda Radner.
What's it called? Mischief.
Mischief. Oh, Mischief. That's right.
Yeah, Mischief.
Yeah, I had that movie on VHS, and the track.
I liked that one too. Up. Yeah.
Deductive reasoning, but
that was one that would come on HBO at midnight.
Yep, Doug McKeon was the kid's name. Now I wonder if he was related to the McKeons.
Wait, and there was what was that other movie he was in too, where he was supposed to? He never took off.
No,
he was supposed to be the.
Huh?
He was supposed to be like a Christopher Atkins or.
Yeah, Chris Atkins was in Blue Lagoon.
Mm.
This guy, what is his name? Okay, yeah, I don't know what other movies
Doug
this,
McKeon?
This fellow.
Yeah. He was in On Golden Pond.
That's right. He was her son.
Well, Kelly Preston was in Drugstore Cowboy, right?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Who was opposite Matt Dillon in Drugstore Cowboy?
Oh, is that the same red hair you have on your those eyebrows?
Really?
No, I don't know who you're talking about.
No. All right, well, well,
I know that wasn't her though. I mean, you know, she's in a ton of films.
Yeah,
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, definitely Jerry Maguire. Spellbinder.
She was like one of the originators of the loser.
What?
On Jerry Maguire, remember whenever?
Oh, that's right.
He dumped his ass after he was whatever, and she walked by and was like. Like right at the start of that, when people were doing that all the time.
She started off on a lot of TV shows, though. She was like on Chips and Riptide and shit like that.
Riptide.
Oh, she must have been 15 on Riptide.
Sure,
so we can go way back. Quincy. She was on Quincy. She was on Hawaii. This is how old she is. She's on Hawaii 5-0, I guess the last season of Hawaii 5-0. She Blue Thunder, the TV series. Not even the movie. Amazon Women on the Moon. Remember that film?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's kind of Kentucky Fried movie, Steph.
Oh, of course.
Kentucky Fried movie.
Yeah. It's the same people. And she was also in From Dusk Till Dawn. So rest in peace to Miss Kelly Preston. Benjamin Keough. Do you guys know who that is?
Yeah, I put that
in. He found a new place to dwell.
Oh, dude. Ugh. Now you're going to hell. Benjamin Keough, 27 years old, is Lisa Marie Presley's son and Elvis Presley's grandson. And that's just a terrible thing, you know, because you don't know anything about this guy. Did you know anything about him?
Nope.
Mm-mm. I know his sister.
His sister is an actress, right?
Yeah, she was in the Girlfriend Experience.
What's that noise?
Iris.
It was Kelly Lynch was in Drugstore Cowboys. Sorry, carry on.
I forgot what we were talking about.
We're talking about Ben Keough.
No, his girlfriend, his sister was in that show, The Girlfriend Experience. It was the TV show realization of the Soderbergh movie. Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's filthy. It's absolute smut. It was great. The first season, anyway. The second one was terrible. But she was in that, and she was in a couple of other weird-ass movies that have been out recently.
Hmm.
She's always naked.
My granddaughter's naked on a TV show. You can watch her shake her tits all day. So anyway, so that's terrible. I mean, you don't know what goes through people's heads. You know, money can't buy happiness. And finally, rest in peace to the Washington R Words. Not that R
Word. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 88 years they were named after a horrible thing that they used to call Native Americans until, I don't know, maybe the 1920s. And they have a new name. It should have been announced by the time you're listening or watching this. You'll know.
That was going to be my next question. I wasn't sure if it was announced yet.
Cucks. That's what's going to be the Washington
Cucks. Cucks. Oh, yeah.
Stop I can see the Cucks.
Washington Cuckolds.
Kansas City better watch their ass. That's all I'm saying.
What's
Kansas
that?
Kansas City better watch their ass.
Well, the Braves, Kansas City. I read something today. Some idiot in the Washington Post wrote this long article over, and the Texas Rangers need to change their name because the Rangers in Texas have a blah, 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 blah.
Really?
Yeah, fucking idiot.
I'm still mad at the Expos.
What about Airborne Rangers?
What about
Lone Rangers?
But Lone Ranger. Well, the Lone Ranger was a Texas Ranger. What about Walker, Texas Ranger?
Walker says I got AIDS.
So what are they going to call them? Is it the Generals?
No,
I don't know.
They're debating a bunch of different names. Red Wolves, Red Tails, Warriors.
How about Savages?
Yeah, they'll love that.
No.
You forgot to RIP Naya Rivera, too.
Who's Naya Rivera?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's horrible.
She's... horrible story all around with her poor kid and
boat. And the kid was in the boat and jeez,
that's a terrible story. Thanks for reminding me.
No, just we're in the thick of it still. I thought, let me just throw it in there.
That's a super
I love starting off with this shit. It's so so good.
Well, we had an interview before all this. You're
makes me feel great. It's starting for me.
There's no way to cope it up.
Yeah,
that's true. All right, I take it back.
Yeah. All right. How about this?
Depressed and end happy.
We're going to go ahead and just make a leap. We're going to make a leap right now to July 1990. How about that? We'll get in the time machine. All these people are still alive, except for Elvis.
Yeah, let's do it.
Elvis' grandchild hadn't been born yet. I think Lisa Marie was still banging Michael Jackson. I don't know.
That never happened.
I need you guys to tell me what happened in July 1990 because I don't remember shit about that.
Steph.
Do it, Tim.
Oh, it's me.
How dare you?
All right, so we're going to do this. We're going to talk about July 1990. Kicking it off with July 3rd and Two Live Crew was formally charged with obscenity in Florida. Do you remember that when people would get mad about it? Song lyrics or performances? Like now you could do anything. You could, I don't know, you could fuck a bowling ball on stage with someone else's dick. No one cared. But back then, if you said swear words and you had sexy women on stage, you got in trouble. And Luther Campbell, not the best spokesperson. But I liked that. It was a fun album to play at a party.
Oh, yeah.
And to laugh, you know.
Everybody had that album. Are you kidding me?
Don't those guys have a Atlanta connection somehow?
I don't know. I didn't really follow them much after that.
Just put her in the book.
Do you remember that Chris Rock used to do an impression of him on SNL?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was pretty vicious.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. More news from July of 1990. On the 4th of July, 400 New Kids on the Block fans were treated for heat exhaustion in Minnesota.
400?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
That was 10% of the audience, probably.
Jesus.
July 7th, Martina Navratilova, the best turf on earth, won her record 9th Wimbledon. Why'd you write Wimbledon? Who wrote Wimbledon?
Wimbledon. That's what it is. It's Wimbledon.
Not for her. It's not.
Wimbledon.
Yeah, that's why we always play. July 10th, Andrew Dice Clay cries on Arsenio. Why did he cry on Arsenio? I don't know. We just got
I vaguely remember that.
Wikipedia. You do? You saw it?
No, I remember the story. I remember the deal, but I can't remember why he cried. Arsenio got him. I think it was breaking his balls too hard, you know, about being a misogynist or something.
He showed me his penis and it was bigger than mine and I cried.
Oh!
People were starting to come down on him and his whole persona at that time.
That's right. That's right. Nora Dunn. What's she done? July 12th, Boris Yeltsin quits the Communist Party and opens his 50th bottle of vodka. When I worked at Bob Evans in... Chambersburg, Pennsylvania.
Boris Yeltsin came in?
No. We had two Bosnian refugees, husband and wife. So, you know, whatever, the Yugoslavians, but they had fled the war. And he was an engineer and she was like, I mean, they went from being, you know, very respected, having very respected careers in Yugoslavia to, you know, washing dishes at Bob Evans. But, you know, good for them. Anyway. He could barely speak English, and I would always, but he was political, and he knew stuff, and I'd say, what do you think of Boris Yeltsin? He would go, Boris Yeltsin, team, look, Boris Yeltsin. He'd take a bottle, go, goo, 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 goo. And I said, what do you think about Bill Clinton? He'd go, Bill Clinton, friend to Bosnia, friend to Bosnia, friend.
Yeah.
Moving on, July 14th, Howard Stern's summer show premieres on WWOR-TV, which we call WOR-TV, Channel 9 from New York City. That show was hilarious. Yeah,
that show was awesome.
Yeah.
And every episode of that show is canceled. And if you can find an episode, they're on YouTube, you'll find out why. A lot of very sensitive things on there today, by today's standards. Certainly not 1990 standards when nobody cared.
Well, they did care. That's why he got a lot of shit from, you know, the mainstream, really.
Right. You know, in the fall, though, when Saturday Night Live came back consistently, in markets where people had WOR, Howard beat SNL every single week, even reruns. But you got to see for the first time Stuttering John doing interviews on video camera. Yeah. You got to see Whack Packers. You got to see Howard dressed up as Clarence Thomas. All sorts of horrible, horrible, horrible things.
Well, I sent you that Gilbert video the other day.
Oh, yeah. He was Gilbert Dice Clay. That's where that came from.
Just the cigarette was like,
Gilbert looks so young.
You can tell in that clip that Howard could tell Gilbert was not enjoying smoking the cigarette. So he's just fucking with him by like making him just talking and making him keep doing the cigarette. Right. Smoking it, even though Gilbert was hating it. That was hilarious.
He could have just done the cigarette and not done dice, right. And I was still just cracking up.
And now we'll talk about what happened on the 16th. We had the Judas Priest trial began, and I think that ended up being a hung jury. Oh no!
What was that about? The Satanism stuff?
Kids killed themselves.
Oh yeah,
so bad.
Judas Priest had never made anybody kill themselves. On the 17th, Deion Sanders, who was a New York Yankee, can you believe that? He hit an inside home run. He was. I have the baseball card, but he didn't stay with them for very long. Speaking of baseball, on the 19th, you had Pete Rose sentenced to 5 months in jail for tax evasion. I'm sick of Pete Rose not being recognized by MLB. They recognize everybody else. Let Pete in.
So he got tax evasion then, but the real reason he got in trouble was for betting, right?
Well, from baseball, yeah. But yeah. He didn't seem to be that smart of a guy.
Apparently not. Lived in my hometown.
Baseball gets a new commissioner, though. Can't they recognize Pete Rose?
No, Pete Rose is banned from the Hall of Fame until he dies.
All right.
I mean, they could overturn it, but nobody wants to because baseball, they like to fillet each other. You know, they're like, oh, God, what would George Will think? Or, you know, who cares?
He was probably a horrible racist. He'd be canceled anyway.
Who, Pete Rose?
Yeah, I'm kidding.
I don't think so. He worked for Marge Schott, but he is not Marge Schott.
No, don't you? I think him and Johnny Bench probably have the souls of angels.
Johnny Bench, I bet he does. No runs, no drips, no errors. Rust-Oleum. Fuck it was. On the 21st, Pink Floyd performed The Wall on the other side of the Berlin Wall. That you know, the Berlin Wall was gone.
That was a big deal. Oh yeah, Wind's a Chant. I haven't heard that song since the podcast.
Yeah, I can't get it out of my head, and I
me neither.
Finished it a week ago.
Yeah.
Follow the Moskva down to Gakipa.
That's what the CIA wants.
Yeah, they get to him eventually, and they ask him about it.
All right, don't give away the ending.
I'll go. Oh, here we go. Here's some good news, some juicy news. Remember July 24th, 1990?
Yes,
when 30,000 Iraqi troops massed near the Kuwaiti border, ready to move in. Oh yeah, good times. This is before the war started.
First,
that was then, huh?
That what?
That was then. That was July 90.
Yeah, they hadn't invaded yet. That wouldn't be prudent, Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein marched in there, gonna bomb them. And the 25th, Roseanne was very patriotic, singing the national anthem at the Reds. I thought it was funny. I don't know why people hated her so much for that.
That's damn disrespectful, is what that is.
It was.
And now, those same people now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What else? Zsa Zsa Gabor went to jail for slapping a cop.
I remember that.
Darling. And George Steinbrenner was forced to resign as the principal partner of the Yankees, and the good thing about that is the reason the Yankees won so many World Series after 1995 was because all the people that he would have gotten rid of for like washed up losers weren't traded away. So you got Bernie Williams, you got Andy Pettit, you got Derek Jeter, that whole line of people. Yeah. Some of the movies from July.
Wait a minute. I just feel like you did not do any justice to the fact that this was the first year the Saturn rolled off the line.
Yes. Really? 90?
Yeah, it rolled off the line and into traffic and blew up. Do they still make the Saturn?
No.
No.
Too
definitely
bad.
Not.
But my sister had the sporty one, the from 1990.
The SC1 or some crap. Yes. It was some
well, she bought it like 5 years later, but I used to drive the shit out of that thing. A little stick. It was fast actually.
Yeah, but they fall apart. You hit me like you run over a pea in the road. Maybe I'm thinking of the Fiero. All right, now on to movies from July 1990. Now, these movies, there's not a movie in here that I don't think I dislike. In fact, there are a lot of my favorite movies are in this. Die Hard 2, Die Harder, which we know Steph hates. She doesn't like John Amos.
Shut up. I love John Amos. How dare you?
Didn't you say you didn't like this movie because his nostrils frightened you?
No, that was not me. Oh, my God. Will you stop these rumors?
That's all we do is start rumors.
I love John Amos.
Somebody said they hated Die Hard 2, and I don't remember who it was.
I didn't say I hated it, and it certainly wasn't because of John Amos's nostrils.
Why does this keep happening to us?
Yeah, that was the one with Dennis Franz, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of Gilbert, Gottfried, The Adventures of Fairlane, yeah, which is a great movie, I think. People really, you know, shit on it, but it's a good movie.
Yeah, you gotta, it holds up.
It does.
I went to the theater with my friends to see this movie.
I think Jeff and I saw every one of these movies in the theater. I've never seen The Invisible Maniac.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, we're gonna skip over that. Ghost. God, Ghost ended up being an Oscar-winning film.
Yeah, whatever.
You don't like Ghost?
I don't know.
It's sappy, but it is a good movie.
Sappy, man.
She's great in it, Whoopi Goldberg. Demi Moore, you could drop her in anything, and she's just going to be Demi Moore.
That's a perfect early 90s movie.
I just think men got pissed because it put this whole pottery fantasy into all these bitches' heads that they had to sit and throw a pot with them or some crap.
Until
were cutting their hair all over the place, you know, to look like
so many that did not have the face for it.
Right.
Definitely.
I mean, everybody's beautiful.
Let's see.
Some haircuts aren't for me.
What is The King of New York? I don't remember that movie.
Oh my God, King of New York, man. They had like everybody in it. Giancarlo Esposito, Christopher Walken was the star. You got Larry Fishburne. I mean, it was like, this was an epic gangster movie. This was at the start then there was New Jack City after that. And it hasn't aged well.
No.
I have to say, it's very much of the time. And Christopher Walken acts like, his acting in it is very, he phoned it in is what I'm thinking now as I watch it years later. But at the time, I loved this movie.
Hmm. I'll have to watch it. I've never seen
David Caruso. David Caruso before he was on NYPD Blue.
Yeah, David.
I mean, there's King of Comedy. There's Kings of No. There's Gangs in New York, but no, King of New York. I didn't know.
All right, the next one is my favorite movie from 1990, bar none. Well, maybe I don't know. Directed by Andrew Bergman, this movie stars Marlon Brando, Matthew Broderick, Bruno Kirby, and Penelope Ann Miller. All right.
Oh, it's great.
The Freshman, one of my favorites. So funny from start to finish. Marlon Brando plays Carmine, also known as Jimmy the Toucan. And he got sued for being in this movie and doing basically an impression of The Godfather, Vito Corleone. He got sued by Coppola, and Coppola lost.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first movie I saw where they kind of referenced another movie like that, and it was in a real movie, and it was very strange, but it was done very well.
Well, yeah, you have, who else is it? B.D. Wong. It's the first movie you see him in, if you remember. And Maximilian Schnell, we know him from Flash. Whoa. He's Larry London. Basically, the plot of the film is, you know, Brando plays a mob guy. He takes advantage of Matthew Broderick, and it's involving like endangered species and eating them and they're cooking.
The Komodo dragon.
Yeah, the Komodo dragon, that famous scene where at the mall and at the airport and all that. It's super funny. And Bruno Kirby, a great job in the movie. Burt Parks sings There She Is. There she is. You know, Burt Parks, who used to host Miss America. So
Yeah,
great movie. If you've never seen it, check it out. Paul Benedict, by the way, is in it, and he's the snooty film professor at the school, and he was also the Jefferson's neighbor.
Do you think Coppola sued him because Tucker bombed? He needed to make some money back.
Oh yeah,
shouldn't have bombed. Tucker was a good movie, but maybe
he had the real Mona Lisa in his house. He goes, no, this is
copy.
Like, this is the real one. There's a copy in the museum.
Yeah. Navy SEALs.
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
Arachnophobia.
Arachnophobia was kind of cool, actually. John Goodman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. God damn,
I saw that in the theater. It wasn't bad.
That
movie still, I can't hardly watch that movie. It gives me the tibbly tabblies, like, all over. I can't stand it.
No, thanks. Problem Child. Gilbert Gottfried.
That's Gilbert, right?
And well, yeah, and
John Ritter.
And the Beach Boys theme song. And Presumed Innocent, which is a Harrison Ford movie. And,
yeah.
I mean, no, different movie. But this is Raul Julia. He's an attorney, and he's banging one another DA in the office, and she dies, and they think he did it. And really, it was his wife. Sorry to
spoiler alert.
The wife did it. But my friend Mark spoiled it for me. They went and saw it. I'm working at the Time Saver. They come in, which is a convenience store. They come in. I said, how was the movie? The wife did it. And then they walk
out. Like, you fucking asshole.
Ate those people.
Oh, the wife did it. Problem Child and Presumed Innocent. The top shows on TV in 1990, you had Growing Pains, Doogie Howser, A Different World, Matlock, Arsenio, The Wonder Years, which, by the way, is coming back. Did you know? Did you know Wonder Years
no.
is coming back? Yeah.
From the producers of Blackish.
Yeah. It's going to be an African-American family in the 60s.
Oh, I thought they were going to have Fred Savage's kids or something.
No, no, they wouldn't do that.
In the 60s in Alabama, and I'm wondering, is this a comedy?
I'm sure there'll be a very special episode. The Wonder Year.
Well, there will never be another.
Get out of there, boy.
I can't see. I feel like there's going to be a lot of sad times.
Oh, yeah.
Music will be better. Full House, Married with Children, and The Simpsons. Rex. Oh, man.
Back yeah, then, that was a great year for TV.
Mm-hmm.
Designing Women. Baywatch. I like Designing Women.
Designing Women was supposed to, that was all supposed to be from down here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I didn't know about that. And then years later, I found out about that.
Twin Peaks, Who's the Boss? Samantha. Cheers was still on. In Living Color, which was a fucking hilarious show.
Oh, yeah.
They premiered that year.
Yep.
Did it?
Fox was awesome that year, man. And we didn't have it in our town yet. So I had my dad record The Simpsons and Married with Children and In Living Color for me. Pee-wee's Playhouse was on, L.A. Law, and China Beach. China Beach, of course, with the great Dana Delaney. We're going to talk about the music.
I could talk about Married with Children for the next hour.
We should do that one of these times. Yeah. Let's just, there's a ton of hit songs from the 90s. I'm going to bust through these real quick because I kind of got to rap and we'll do our little playlist.
Did you rap Will Smith style? DJ Jazzy Jeff, weren't they?
Yeah. My wife banged my son's friend. Yeah.
It's an entanglement.
Yeah, she cuckolded me. Going to live with your aunt and your uncle in Bel Air, and your wife's going to bang some rapper. Me. Did you hear about this?
Yep.
No.
August Alsina is not a rapper. He's an R&B songster.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said Howard Stern called him a rapper. Now I feel bad. All right, here's.
I don't think he's a rapper.
But back in 1990, I would have said rapper.
Here are some of the Billboard top songs from 1990. You had Heart of the Matter by Don Henley, which is kind of a boring dirge. you had Jealous Again by the Black Crowes.
Oh, come on, man. That album came out that year? That's great.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they rock and roll.
Yeah.
You had Nelson with Love and Affection.
Oh, good song.
You're my... Okay. No, it wasn't.
Yes.
It was not.
All right, it wasn't. But come on.
Close to You by Maxi Priest is a better song. Do Me by Belle Biv DeVoe was out. House of Pain, Faster Pussycat.
Oh, man.
Aerosmith, The Other Side, another one of those awful 90s Aerosmith songs.
Yeah, but it was in a good movie.
Faith No More is epic.
What a tune.
Yeah, that was pretty cool when it came out.
Mm-hmm. Cool video.
Janet Jackson's All Right. Sinead O'Connor doing Prince's Nothing Compares to You. Well, he wrote it for her. Great song. Big, big, big hit that summer. I remember it being played. I DJed dances, and I remember the guy who spoiled the movie with me helped me DJ dance. This is one of those ones. All I Want to Do.
Hung out with that guy, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Still talk to him. All I Want to Do is Make Love to You by Heart. Not a bad tune. Here's a fun one. The Humpty Dance, Digital Underground.
Oh, yeah.
Madonna's Vogue.
That's a good song.
It is. Almost the only song. You Can't Touch This is a good song, even though, you know, it's much maligned, MC Hammer. Number 13, The Power by Snap. That song was everywhere. Boom. pow, pow, pow. It was in commercials. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
Depeche Mode, Enjoy the Silence. Mm. Taylor Dane, I'll Be Your Shelter. I don't know that song.
Baby, I'll be your shelter. I'll be the one to take you through the night.
There you go.
That's exactly how it sounded, Tim.
Even bitches looking like En Vogue got a hold on. Oh, there's a song called Hold On by En Vogue and with an NWA lyric.
That was a jam. That was a jam, though.
Yeah, it was. It Must Have Been Love by Roxette.
From the Pretty Woman soundtrack.
But it's over now. And number one, New Kids on the Block, Step by Step. I'm going to do my my songs for our playlist, which we will post in the show sheet here.
I just wanted you to just mention this real quick that the one RIP was the Pepsi AM.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember Pepsi AM?
Yes, I do.
It was just for the morning Pepsi drinker.
Yeah,
I don't remember that at all.
I think it came out in 89 and then it was dead in 1990. They killed it.
They tried so much of that in clear Pepsi.
I remember Pepsi AM. What was it, like heavy caffeine Pepsi?
It was probably like Jolt.
I honestly, it must have been like an early incarnation of that, but it says it on the can, Pepsi and then an A dot M dot.
Oh, jeez.
It was discontinued due to low sales.
Well, yeah.
It was basically Red Bull.
I want Pepsi PM, the shit that's like a roofie.
Oh, yeah. Collaboration with Sudafed.
Discontinued foods. All right, we can bust through this real quick. Ranker. Squeeze-Its, those were gross. Mm-hmm. They had this thing in that, you know, everything was extreme or Squeeze-It. Or
yeah.
Shark Bites.
Just dark gummies. Bites were great. The white ones were the best.
Mm-hmm.
Butterfinger BBs.
Those are good, too.
I love the BBs.
Doritos 3D were not good.
What was that?
They're puffed up Doritos.
They're like little pyramids or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Ecto-Cooler.
Ecto-Cooler was the best.
I didn't mind that. Rice Krispie Treat cereal. That's a little overkill. Yeah. Melody Pops. Chupa Chups. Remember those? You could blow the whistle and then eat it.
Oh, yeah.
Fruitopia. Hippies. The drink loved by hippies made by a multinational corporation.
Right.
French Toast Crunch cereal. That was pretty good.
Yum. Yeah,
French Toast was good.
Cheeto Paws, Surge Soda, which they brought back. Snapple Elements. All sorts of Oreo O's cereal. That was gross. Berry Berry Kicks. I'm surprised that didn't make it. All right. I can't look at all this. I'm going to die.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to do my songs real quick, and then you guys can go. From 1990, that summer, I kept the radio station going at my college campus, and I brought a bunch of people in every week, students and stuff, little kids, and we had a lot of songs on the playlist. But from that summer, Cut You Up by Peter Murphy, Ball and Chain by Social Distortion, and You Couldn't Go Anywhere Without Hearing Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks.
I got friends.
Blame it all on my roots.
I can miss the pain, but I'd have missed the pain.
My 1990 songs are Free Fallin' by Tom Petty.
Yeah.
We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. And Black Velvet by Alana Miles.
That's a great song.
Remember those songs?
I do.
I always thought it was Juliana Margulies. Yeah.
She did have that the hair, yeah.
And mine, I was in West Virginia at the time. No, I was back in Detroit for the summer, but I was a junior going on to be a senior in high school. And we would always ride around and listen to, of course, Been Caught Stealing by Jane's Addiction.
Oh, that was 90?
Yeah. I can't even tell you how many, we just, you know, how you sing it over and over. You know every word. The video was humongous on MTV. They played it around the clock.
The one where his balls are swinging the entire video.
And he's stealing all the shit with the watermelons and all the crap in the grocery store.
Of course, that is the absolute worst song on the album, too. You know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was. My taste of music was terrible. Because I also...
Big song.
I also loved the Where the Story Ends by the Sundays.
Great song.
That's
a good song.
Yeah, but it's voice. Yeah, it was. I don't know. I mean, it was just like one of those songs where ride around with the girlfriend.
It's
And then last, because it, this was such a huge song that summer for me, especially in southeastern Michigan, Rub You the Right Way by Johnny Gill. Me and my friends, we used to do dances to the song. Mm-hmm. Horrible, terrible dances. You know the song. When I you feel the magic in my touch, when I rub you the right way. Johnny Gill was grown up and he left New Edition. You know, they split off. It was Bell Biv DeDoe, Ralph Tresvant. And then Johnny had his own career. And this was his big, big hit. Damn. Rub You the Right Way. That's it.
Right way. Ira, you got any?
Well, I mean, I didn't have any, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to say Seeing Things from the first Crows record. And I'm going to say the other hit from the, what's the Jane's Addiction record?
That's called Costello. Stop.
Is Stop, yeah. Well, I mean, I know the song name. I can't remember the album name now. I'm drawing blank. 3 days?
Hello de Hello Bit Rio.
Oh, Ritual de Hello.
Yeah, that. Ritual de lo habitual.
You're talking about that song, Here We Go.
Yeah,
that
that's one where his balls are in the whole video.
Dun, 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 dun. And then there was another band that came out with an album in 1990. You know, I'm talking hair metal stuff now, called Tora Tora. And they had with their hit, I mean, the whole album's great, but their hit was called Walking Shoes. Very bluesy hair metal song. Check it out.
I remember that. I remember playing that. Yeah, yes. On the radio. All right, Ira, glad to see you. You want to be back next week?
We'll see. I'll let you know.
Maybe we'll have a little game with you.
Between this week and next week, I will let you know if I will be on next week.
If not, we're getting your dad. All right.
Well.
Yeah, well, my dad's at the shore right now, freaking out.
Down to shore?
He's like, I don't know if I should go to the beach. I don't know if I should go to the boardwalk. There's people out there. I don't know if I should wear a mask.
Did he take his bitch in Camaro?
Huh?
Did he take a bitch in Camaro?
To the beach.
Well, you know that song? Oh, yeah. How you get to the shore? My parents got me a Camaro. Anyway, bitch in Camaro, bitch in Camaro.
Is that a dead milkman?
It is.
Yes, okay.
Down that on your lawn, Tony, Orlando, and Dawn. Hey, thank you to Matthew Perniciero for coming on and talking to us about his Kickstarter and the Rip Rip Hooray documentary about Rip Taylor, and apologize for the few minutes that were cut off at the top, but we got a lot in there, and hopefully we'll have him on again. And of course, we will support the film and the Kickstarter. So,
hey, kick in anything else? You make it a digital copy. That's what I did.
Yeah, kick in, you cheap bastard. Why do I always have to be Mr. Pink? Don't answer.
You're
went to watch the movie. All right. Anything else, you guys?
Not going to do what we watched and all that stuff.
No, I got to wrap up.
Oh, I was just going to say
I wanted to talk to you, Jeff, about Dark. I wanted to hear what you thought of season one.
It was pretty good. I'm on to season two now. I'm going to keep watching it.
It's a pretty crazy show, right? Yeah. All right. Well, then if we're not going to do it, then forget about it. We'll wrap it up.
I just wanted to say one of our longtime loyal listeners, Michael Thornton. Mm-hmm. He hosts a trivia night at Dylan's in Lawrenceville, and he's been doing it for like 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they shut it down because of the COVID for a while, but he's been back at it for like a month or so. So I would just like to say he's a loyal listener of ours. If you're in the Lawrenceville area, or if you're just looking for a place to go for some cool trivia, you should check out Dylan's in Lawrenceville at 7:30 on a Tuesday.
All right. And Ira, thank you. And Ira, next week, if you come on, we'll talk about Dark. I'll watch the first season this week.
Will you?
Yep.
All right. Well, I didn't get a glowing review from Jeff, so don't expect anything
that's
great.
Good. I mean, it's German. It's like, it's dark. It's called Dark.
It's dark.
It's dark.
It'll fuck with your head.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's really well done, though, and there's like really good writing and...
Yeah,
the characters are interesting, and I like seeing all the time travel shit.
Yeah, I guess I just love good time travel stuff. You know,
it seems like it fucking rains a lot, though.
Yeah,
Germany.
Does it rain every fucking day in Germany?
I don't know.
It seems like
just in wind, I guess.
All right, guys, thank you.
Yeah. Sure.
And we'll talk to you next week. Rip, rip, hooray!
Oh, rip, rip, hooray!
And keep it.
Keep it.
Come on.
Canonical.
Canon.
Like Jesus.
Right.
Right.